Good morning. This is Dennis.
Good morning. This is Kristen with the Alliance.
Good morning, Kristen.
Hello there, Dennis.
Kristen, when we review the board agenda, I didn't. Could you confirm with me? Is Kelly going to be with us in Asheville or no?
She'll be on the phone. She will not be there in person.
Gotcha. Okay, great. So we'll keep her on the agenda then. Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, Dennis. It's Gordon.
Hi, Gordon. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, you're talking about Asheville. I will be there. I won't get there till about 2 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, though.
Okay. Well, then we'll expect to see you there.
All right.
It's quite cool there already. We were looking at the weather report this morning, and it's in the 50s there already. So.
Holy cow. I feel like I'm in Texas. Our high today is supposed to be 94.
I wonder if you'll be us. You might be hotter than it is here in Dallas.
Yeah.
Has anyone else joined us on the call in addition to Gordon?
Hi, Dennis. It's Sarah. I'm on the line. Thanks.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks.
Hello?
Hello, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis, this is Michael Dudley.
Hi, Michael, how are you?
I have a question for you. Am I on the executive committee? I don't know if I'm supposed to be on this call.
Yeah, I apologize, Michael. I believe that they sent out an invitation list that included some former executive committee members.
Oh, okay.
And, so you were on that former list. And so, no, you're not expected to be on the call today. So you get some free time back.
All right. All right. If anybody else is on the call, let me just say thanks, colleagues. Have fun.
Hey, Michael. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds
all right.
Great.
Take care, Michael. Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, this is Dennis. Have others joined us on the call? We have Gordon with us so far.
Hi, it's Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello.
Hi, Gordon.
Good morning. Hi, Mary Ann. Hey, Gary.
So, Gary, you've joined us?
I have.
Great. So we've got Gary, Mary Ann, and Gordon. And then the
Alliance. That's all we need. Let's get rolling. That's all we need, Dennis.
That's all we need.
Hey, Dennis, this is Maura McCaffrey.
Hi, Maura. Thanks.
All right. We'll let Maura join the party.
All right.
Oh,
Gordon, I think the only declines we might have had was Paul. So
I'm on, Dennis.
Paul. Great, thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just heard that you were not maybe going to be able to make the finance call this afternoon, so I didn't know if it applied to all of them or not.
Nope.
Great.
Nope, we're fine.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So I think we're just missing Kelly and David.
All right, we can give him 1 minute here.
Okay.
I know that David does not make these calls a lot, so.
Yeah.
Did we hear from David?
No, we didn't get any declines,
okay.
So we didn't hear. And then we just did a session with him last Friday and some of his colleagues about how we run the network and the infrastructure and that type of thing. So we talked to him recently, but I didn't know for sure if he was going to make this.
Okay.
And then, Gary, a question just on procedure. We've got it set up where we're going to stop the recording before we go into executive session. We'll leave the line open, and then I wanted to ask you, do you want me to stay for executive session or step out?
I think that you can step. I think you can step out.
Okay.
I put that on there just for a quick little touch base, since we're all going to see each other next week anyway. So it's just a little quick check-in.
Okay. So I'll do that. I'll leave the line open, and then we'll just check back later after you guys are done, and then we'll hang up after that. Because if we cut off, it cuts off everybody else.
Right. All right. Well, why don't we go? Why don't we get moving here, because it's nearly 8:35. So we'll call the meeting to order, and we have myself and Maura, Marianne, Gordon, and Paul on the line. We're missing Kelly and David. So we have a quorum, and with that, why don't we move into the first real agenda item, which is the 2017-2018 strategic plan. And Dennis, I'll hand it over to you.
You bet. Thank you, Gary. As you all looked at the agenda, you probably noticed that the agenda items that we have and the limited time we have together today is really focused in on the future. On 2018, the committees during this week are taking a look at our current status, what we're accomplishing in 2017. So our focus today is really taking a look at 2018. And so to lay the foundation for that discussion, we'll start with the strategic plan. You'll recall last time that we developed a strategic plan to move through time and to continue to build on the foundation year by year, and then look out an additional 12 or 24 months. So the timeline covered here is the remainder of 2017, but particularly looking forward to 2018. You have the strategic plan document. It's a Word document. The strategic plan itself is covered in the first six or so pages. But following that Word document, I've summarized the strategic plan in a more graphic form with a PowerPoint. So I think it will simplify our discussion to focus in on that PowerPoint. So if you go through the Word document, which is about 28 pages or so, and behind that then you'll see the PowerPoint. And the pages aren't numbered sequentially, unfortunately, but if you'll turn to page 6 in that PowerPoint, it really encapsulates the strategic plan. As our team, as I was drafting the plan, as I wrote the first draft, and then as Kathy and Sarah and Kristen and Jaime and I fleshed it out over several sessions, we focused in on two things. Keeping our focus. Keeping our focus on the central elements of what we do. And the second concept that we kept in mind is moving forward. When I say focus, our attention is really on the core of what we do, which is our programming. that's what you rely on us for and how you engage most directly with us and with one another. A second area focuses on our infrastructure. And it has two components. The first is our member-facing infrastructure, particularly leveraging our knowledge center and our forums. And then the second aspect of infrastructure is our own internal operations. The second concept that I mentioned was moving forward. Obviously, 2018 is going to be a year of transition for the Alliance. So many of you, you'll know what I'm talking about. Your organizations are going through significant transition. You've got to keep the balls in the air, and you've got to keep moving forward. And so that was the second concept that we kept in mind. So let me just pause there. You know, that really provides the conceptual framework for the development of our goals and strategies and set some context for you. So let me just pause there for a minute. Any comments, or can I keep moving on, Gary?
Yes, please.
All right. So with those concepts in mind, we developed goals in four areas. The first goal area is anticipate and respond to member needs. Obviously, that is the core of what we do. As a membership organization, keeping our eyes on what your priorities and your interests and meeting your needs. The second goal is based on a saying that we have here in the office that we repeat to one another quite frequently, and that is our role is connect people to people and people to information. So the second goal is focused in on that concept. The third goal is to take a look at those areas where we provide added value to the membership. And then the fourth goal is part of that, keep moving forward. What do we need to invest in 2018 for the future? So those four goals form the backbone of the strategic plan. So I'll go into just a quick summary of what the strategies are under each of those goals. But first, let me pause again and give you a chance to anything that clarification. Hearing none, then let me just dive into just a quick summary of each of the strategies that are under the goal. And under the anticipate and respond to member needs, you know, as a membership organization, obviously it's important for us to stay in touch with our members. Just as important today with 50 members as it was back when Kathy started the organization with 8 members. But it becomes logistically more difficult with 50, obviously, than 8. And so special emphasis on the voice of the member and how to collect that information so that it can feed into our collaboratives and programming. You'll see in the strategic plan we've identified those topic areas where we're going to put particular emphasis in full-blown collaboratives and the development of multi-venue, multi-level programming in those areas. And then a second list of topics that are of subjects that are more topical in nature and that we'll really focus in on through our Knowledge Center, the discussion forums, and webinars. So they're no less important, but we'll just focus in on, from a collaborative perspective, on those high-level or on those priority areas, recognizing that those are topics that require some real in-depth look.
Hey, Dennis, this is Maura. And on page 8, where it says strategy A, the second bullet point, and it said that you're trying to ensure that the board of directors and the committees represent the membership. Do you have a target for that in your mind? Are you saying, like, I need at least somebody with managed care advantage, and I need a Medicaid, or I need somebody to have commercial in all lines of business? I'm looking for a 400,000 life plan versus a 200,000. Like, how are you looking to make sure that the board of directors?
All of those factors come into play. Certainly on the board of directors, that is formed by the shareholders.
Right.
But all members are encouraged to participate and can, you know, attend board meetings. So making sure that the entire membership, you know, is aware of the governance issues and what we're covering and the decisions that are made and participate in them. The committees over the last couple of years, the team has really made an effort to broaden that, involve more of the partners, more of the range of the demographics that you mentioned, Maura, so both size, product line, market conditions, ownership structures, all of the demographics that make up the membership.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help?
Yep.
Any other questions?
So just a comment on this. The collaboratives, what we're doing is really expanding the model that works so well with the Medicare Advantage collaborative, and before that, some of the work that had done with the exchange, where we found that those really big topics needed ongoing attention and not just sort of planning meeting by meeting. And I think based off of our goals, it's like 84% of our members are involved in the collaborative planning for going forward next year.
So if we take a look then at the second goal, really connecting people to people and people to information. Obviously, the investments that we've made in the Knowledge Center and the member-facing capabilities that we have on the website and in other venues. Let me just focus in on one, which is member-to-member interaction. We know that a lot of that occurs, and we don't want to get in the middle of that. Members love engaging directly with one another, having folks that they can call, doing site visits and all of that. So we're wanting to take we see our role to be one of taking a look at how can we foster that and how can and support it and help people connect greater with one another. So one of the projects we will be to scope a project that will allow us to track what member initiatives and expertise to allow us to, you know, provide you with information on connecting with other members. So that's one example of a strategy or in that space. If we take a look then at the third goal, provide added value. Our focus here is on the GPO program in particular, and integrating it more, and our integrating our the relationships that we have with our business partners and with vendors in or outside of the GPO, integrating them more into our programming and into getting their expertise out to you as members, and engaging and interacting with them. So emphasis that Jaime will be placing both on the pipeline of getting additional contracts under our GPO umbrella and vetting those and working with the programs and partnership committee to identify those high priority areas that our members are most interested in. But the dollar value is only half of it. The other half of it is getting them engaged more actively as experts in our programming. So, you know, both expanding the number of contracts under our GPO and then increasing the participation among our members in the existing contracts. We'll certainly continue to explore industry partnerships. We've already had discussions with AHA, for example, for our health plan and health system meeting this year. Kristen has a project going on with ACAP on a technology survey. We've got conversations going on with a couple of other groups as well for potential projects. ACHP, we've worked with them on a Medicare benchmarking project. So we'll continue to pursue industry partnerships as well. The fourth goal area is to invest in the future. One area is on member recruitment, and we're going to be talking a little bit later in our agenda about a pilot program on a new membership class. On operations, continuing to make investments there. We've introduced the infrastructure that Kristen and the operations team have been working on for the last 24 months, making sure that we're leveraging all of our capabilities. As all of, again, each of you probably know, as you introduce new processes into your organization, it's the introduction that's really important, but then it's also making sure, are you using those new capabilities to their highest level, and are you achieving some of the operational efficiencies that you had hoped to gain? And that takes some time, both to become used to those new processes and to work out the kinks and the bugs. So there'll be continued emphasis on that in 2018. On the staffing level, I'll give a staffing update later on the agenda as well, but looking at, we'll continue to take a look again as a year of transition during 2018 at what our staffing needs are.
Dennis,
so that's the strategic plan in a summary.
Dennis?
Uh-huh.
In number four, in Invest for the Future, is there an opportunity to include something about partnerships with other organizations? I'm thinking of the things we've tried to accomplish with the American Hospital Association this year, whether we need to continue to pursue opportunities to collaborate with ACAP. You know, should we have something? This is all what we have there at number four is really kind of operational, but I'm wondering if this is an opportunity to talk about the future of the organization as well.
Sure. We do address industry partnerships under Goal 3, Mary Ann. Perhaps we can flesh it out a little bit in both spaces. Because you're right, it is those partnerships can be really critical to what we do in the future. So it does kind of, it impacts both of those, the value added that we can bring today and then what we're able to do in the future.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking beyond just opportunities to network with them, but are there collaborative efforts that we could be doing with them?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, again, the language we've used there is to collaborate and partner with them. So I think you're right. It really warrants being fleshed out.
I guess I got
And some emphasis put on it.
Yeah, I got fixated on number three being more about our vendor partners.
Ah.
Maybe I'm just not looking at it correctly. But
yeah, the industry partners are not the vendors. Those are other organizations and efforts that are going on. So AHA, ACAP, ACHP, Women Business Leaders, TPG, and those international things, all of those fit under that industry leadership piece.
Mary Ann, I think you make a good point. It is kind of buried in there, so I'll flesh that out, and it will highlight it a little bit more.
Okay.
We've also had meetings in depth with ACHP about our business models and what we could potentially do together. Kristen's done more of that with ACAP and as part of her collaborative effort around the Medicaid plans, and it maybe also is the leadership changes to continue to have those evolving discussions to look for ways to collaborate there.
All
other
right.
Comments? How does it look to you?
I think it looks ambitious, which is good.
It does. It is ambitious, and I think it's very focused as well. I think that really focusing in on our programming and our infrastructure and continuing to meet member needs.
Are you going to assign a leader within the Health Plan Alliance to shepherd each of these goals?
Some of the goals, the strategies under those, that's a very good point, Mary Ann. Under these goals, some of them, they cross over among current responsibilities that we have. Any strategic plan like this, its proof comes in the translation from these strategies into our action plans and our budget and our resource allocations. And so
right.
Our intention as a team, what we do with the support of the board for these strategies, we will have a strategy session afterward where we identify more specifically the activities and make specific assignments for the accomplishments of of each of these goals. So in answer to your question, yes, Marianne, that's our that is our process, is to take the strategic plan, translate it into action plans, and make assignments.
And then will there be measurements that, I mean, I know we've got a dashboard that we review as a board, and it's
mm-hmm.
traditionally been, at least the time I've been involved, pretty similar year to year, the things we measure with some modification. But are we going to be sure that the things that we're outlining that we want to accomplish
yeah.
for the upcoming year are have a place that they're being measured on that dashboard, so that the board doesn't get too into the weeds but is able to hold the organization accountable?
Right. Good point. And you'll see when we review the goals in the next adjustment, in the next section on the agenda, let's focus in on that very thing. Our intention was to draw a straight line from these strategies to the goals. So we have two or three new goals and have made some slight modification to other goals so that they'll tie back directly to these strategies. So let's keep that in mind as we look at the goals in 2018, because you're exactly right. We want a straight line from the strategies to the goals.
Dennis, this is Paul. I said on page 9, where we do the overview of associations and kind of the competitive landscape,
uh-huh.
with the dots, and that matrix with the dots.
Uh-huh.
Was that our self-assessment of the other organizations?
Yes, that was our self-assessment, Paul.
Because I just looking at some of these, and I bet you they would rank themselves very differently. Is there any value? Because this is just, okay, this is our competition. Here's what we think of them. Is there any value in having a third party rank these or send these to the CEOs of the others without the dots and say, how would you rank your organization in these areas?
Yeah. Some of those, I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you self-assess.
Yeah.
You're more critical than your competitors because you really don't know their bench strength and what resources
right.
they really have.
Right. We've interacted with them, and some of this information, while it is a self-assessment, is also based on what we hear from our members and what we see out in the marketplace. As Kathy mentioned, we've had really great conversations with the leadership teams at ACHP and ACAP in particular, and then we've also done some joint projects with HHP. Last year we did a joint project with them, a fly-in to Washington. So we're pretty familiar with them and have had conversations.
Paul, I think that because we have good relationships, I think, with both other presidents, that probably would be helpful and let them do that. I'm just eyeballing this, best practices, I would guess that all the organizations say they share that in some respect, and we don't have a dot there. The only one that we don't have that much of a relationship with, and they've just traditionally not been too collaborative, is AHIP.
Right.
I have had one conversation with their new CEO, but I don't know that they would be viewed or they would view themselves in the same area. We probably also would need to offer maybe something on AHA of what they're offering and vis-a-vis
right.
what we do, even though they're not in their primary audience is the health systems. But maybe
yeah.
we can do some sort of a ranking system with that.
Yeah, and state associations, I think, are the last column is a giveaway, because some are very anemic and some are very robust. Like, you can't
yeah.
do business unless you're a member. So that's a variable. But I agree with you, Kathy. If we ask them their perceptions of themselves, but we could also, with your connections, ask them, rank us in these areas. I'd love to know what they think about us, because sometimes, again, when you self-assess, you say we're great and everybody else is weak in these areas. I'd love to see if they really would give us, you know, two dots. Because when
mm-hmm.
I just looked at this on the, just, again, take my hat off of HPA, I looked at this and said, well, then why wouldn't everybody join Health Plan Alliance because it has the highest grading rank? And I don't know if that's true, because I don't know enough about what the others do. That's all.
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest differences is because we don't do advocacy, and that's the primary role for probably every other organization out there, that what we often hear is that they need to have an advocacy organization. Then it becomes which one best serves our needs. And,
right.
you know, we get various feedback depending on some. Some are very positive about AHIP. Others are saying it's just not worth it. I don't get enough out of it for what I'm paying now. I think that probably some of the other things are complementary, but maybe it's worthwhile not only ask them to rank us, but you know, rank themselves and then rank how they see the others in the space, and just take a look at how they view each other on that standpoint.
We're spending too much time on. I mean, I noticed quality. ACAP had nothing. They didn't even have a dot, and I would guarantee you they would say that's all we're about. It's quality. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just make one other comment, and Paul, because it is important, and the landscape is shifting as well. As you know, each of these organizations, well, ACAP has solid leadership, but ACHP and AHIP have both come under new leadership in the last 2 to 3 years, and so you know, the landscape is shifting as well in terms of what their emphasis is, and it's always dangerous to say something based on one. Anecdotal information, but I had lunch this week at an industry meeting where I sat with a COO of a plan who is not a member of the Alliance, and he saw who I was, and he said, oh, my CEO just asked me to find out about you because we got our invoice from AHIP, and the CEO told me he didn't want to renew, and so he wanted to look at other membership organizations. So the dynamics of the landscape are shifting.
Yeah. All right. Great discussion. So, do you seek an approval from this group?
Hey,
yes.
Hey, Gary, this is Dave McDonald. Can I ask a question?
Sure. I didn't realize you were on, David.
I'm sorry. I was a few minutes late. If this has been covered already, then obviously please move on. But when I heard the comments about this plan being ambitious, did you talk about up front the overlay of a new leader inheriting this plan? I was just curious whether that was part of the conversation I might have missed, and what are the implications for a new leader being handed this, you know, at the end of the first quarter or whatever? I don't know. Was that discussed at all?
No, that was not discussed.
Yeah, so maybe it's a non-factor or not, but when the one comment was made about this is a really seems very ambitious. I just wanted to remind the group we'll have a new leader that will have to take the baton on this. And maybe everything's fine, but I at least wanted to call it out.
Dave, we did address that because typically we do a three-year planning cycle, but this was an update to the one that we did that was 16 through 18, and we looked again at what we were doing in sort of 17 to transition to 18, and that thought was in mind that we didn't want to take it too far and make assumptions based off of there was going to be a new leadership, but we also didn't want to wait until somebody came on to look at what was being done in 19 because the planning for that needed to move forward. So the intent would be that when that person has been named, that part of that transition and discussion with the executive committee in early March will be around how do we transition, where is the view of it going forward, and getting that person ingrained in and then letting them influence how the strategic direction gets moved going forward.
And David, this is Paul. I had a very similar thought, and I was going to bring something up under executive session regarding what you just brought up.
Okay, sorry for jumping the gun, but thank you for your answer.
I had a very similar thought, but I wanted to share it in executive session.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your response, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, Kathy, are you looking for an approval of this or just – There's no action item flags on here, so I'm not sure what.
On the agenda, as it's listed, what we're looking for is approval to send the strategic plan to the board. So in that sense, your endorsement of it to send it on to the board.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
That was Mary Ann. Do we have a second?
Paul, second.
Maura, second.
Okay, we've got 2 seconds. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. That is done. And we are severely behind schedule, but we'll endeavor to keep up. So with that, let's go to the discussion of 2018 goals.
Thank you, Gary. Again, here we are looking for an endorsement or approval of the 2018 goals to go from this committee to the board next week. As Mary Ann rightly pointed out, we want to tie the goals, or the intention is to tie the goals directly to the strategic plan. So the focus of the goals is in three primary areas, programming and engagement, leveraging, again, all of our resources, particularly the Knowledge Center, and then the business side of what we do, the GPO participation and our financial management. Just very quickly then, for the member value goals, we've kept the plan engagement goal as we have had it. We've kept those numbers. We did a very, just quickly, we did an analysis, kind of like a bell curve analysis of the engagement points member by member. And as you would expect, those that are at that right-hand side of that bell curve at the, you know, at the higher end of it, they're getting higher and higher points. That end of the bell curve is stretching out. If you look at the left-hand side of the bell curve, those plans that are around 100 points, they, the number and those specific plans have stayed pretty steady over the last 3 to 4 years. And I think that's a reflection of the size of those plans and the product lines that they're in and the other factors that, that we've talked about. And so even with our particular, our emphasis on engaging them, that has remained pretty steady. We have seen the entire bell curve kind of move, shift a little bit as those in the middle kind of shifted to the right. So we kept that that goal as it has been in the past. The member strategic value goal of dealing with those plans that are of encouraging and engaging directly with those strategic plans that are less than highly engaged, we kept that goal the same. And then we've added a new goal. We replaced the goal around the health system database. We replaced that goal with a knowledge management goal of increasing health plans, going out to our website, downloading information from the website. And Kristen, you did a little bit of an analysis, I believe, that helped us shape the percentages that we put there. So it might be worth it since this is a brand new goal. Do you have, can you give us that background?
Yeah, absolutely, Dennis. I think it really actually echoes the bell curve that you just mentioned before around engagement more generally. The larger plans where we have a very robust roster download a number of resources, and then those smaller plans where the roster is a little bit smaller, we see that download rate to be a little lower. So we really did an analysis along the same way, and that's why there's kind of a two-point level. So one where we're really focusing in on the smaller plans that are never going to hit, you know, 200 downloads, and then one that still presents, you know, a challenge for those larger plans that will hit that number pretty easily.
Thank you, Kristen. The membership goals for 2018 remain the same as in 2017, same percentages and no change in the goals. Moving down to the finance and business development goal, as I mentioned, emphasis on the GPO participation. I addressed that in strategic plan, and so we want it reflected here. Again, we're talking both about the number of GPO contracts selected appropriately, and then also participation in our contracts, engaging more plans in the participation. Our budget management goal then remains the same as it was in 2017. So you've seen, you know, a more focus on the goals. We've got a couple fewer this year than we've had in the past, and think that they again tie directly to the main areas of the strategic plan.
This is Gary. Quick question on that new knowledge management goal. So how are you guys going to drive that? It seems that this is an interesting goal, but how are you going to drive plans downloading files?
That's actually, it's a great question, Gary, and to me this is what actually makes the goal an outcomes focused goal versus a process oriented goal, because ultimately that's what we try to do with pretty much every communication that we push out, right? So the e-digest that just came out on Tuesday is filled with links where we're inviting people to go download this agenda for this upcoming meeting, go check out this resource, this other health plan just shared, you know, go post something on the discussion forums, et cetera, et cetera. So in fact, that's one of the major ways that we're able to assess to what extent our plans are engaging with that virtual environment that we're investing so much energy and actual dollars in as well. So the other piece, too, is that document downloads is one thing that we do not currently track in engagement. So in engagement, we look at the other side of it. We look at how much our plan's sharing, right? So when a plan shares, like an org chart or gives a presentation, that type of thing, you know, adds an asset to the Knowledge Center, that is inserted inside the engagement tracking. However, that activity of, you know, what am I pulling from the environment, that's something that currently isn't being tracked and reported on. So this will be the first time that we're actually going to be reporting on it. We've been observing those trends for, you know, almost 2 years now with the new system. We have the ability to track it, but it's never been anything that we've used as a mechanism to gauge that performance.
When you say you use the word files in this goal, by files, you mean a file could be a document, correct?
Correct. So really the term is asset, right? So anytime anyone clicks a link and says, oh, yeah, let me pull down this agenda and look at it, et cetera, that's what we're looking at, is engagement that content.
Okay. Thank you.
Dennis, Marianne, so I see a connection with most of these goals to the measurements, but the one I'm having a little bit more trouble connecting is goal number one. So anticipate and respond to member needs, but the things we're talking about doing there to make that happen have to do with that programming and formalizing the voice of the customer. And the only thing I see that's going to be tracking that is engagement. So I'm not sure I see them as the same thing. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
You're absolutely right, Marianne. We see the engagement goal as being a reflection of that. Just anecdotally, again, you know, folks have said they're responding to our programs by attending the meetings, by participating in the webinars, and all of the other ways that they engage and interact with the Alliance. So the focus that we're putting in on collaboratives and on programming and engaging the members and helping us plan and design those, our feeling is that it will be reflected. They'll vote with their feet, and so their participation in all the engagement activities as reflected in the engagement reports and points goes back to our success in goal one.
The knowledge management goal, Marianne, would also capture some of that where people's interests are, where being able to gauge what they're valuing, what they're going and downloading and using, whether it's a follow-up to a meeting or they're doing research for something that they're doing.
Yeah, I was going to make that same point, Kathy.
Well, I think it's a totality of things, Marianne.
Yeah, I'm just always very nervous about having goals that, and I guess what we're trying to do here is connect a goal to a measurement, which probably is a little, there's stuff that happens in between, but I don't like necessarily having goals that we can't directly be sure that the work intended behind that goal was achieved, because is it a leading indicator or a lagging indicator, right? So we have engagement in any given year. Does that necessarily determine that we've done what we set out to do in the strategic initiatives under Voice of the Member and collaboration and other collaboratives and other programming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not in the goals, but we do report it out at every program and partnership meeting what the satisfaction ratings are, and we've seen those steadily increase. This year they've been between 9.5 and 9.6 overall in the members meetings that they've been attending. So it's kind of hard to tease that out, but I would say the engagement goal is an aggregation of, in total, how we're doing programming and listening to the members and their satisfaction and seeing those scores go up. I think if we started to break out individually by programming, it'd be maybe you could track that back, but you're not getting the totality of what members are getting. And they vary depending on what their particular interests are as to what programs they take advantage of and which ones they don't.
Any other thoughts? Does anybody else have any opinions on that? I mean, again, I'm just trying to draw a clear connection between what we measure and what we said we were going to do. Okay.
Again, Mike.
Any other comments on the goals? All right, then. Would someone care to make a motion to from the executive committee to forward these to the board for review?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Approved. And moving on to provider membership pilot, which starts on page, well, the pages aren't numbered, but it's right after the goal.
Yeah, sorry that the pagination didn't come through on this, but it
That's quite all right. Kristen and Dennis.
It's titled the Provider Membership Pilot, and the membership committee reviewed this yesterday and endorsed it, so they'll be bringing it to the board next week. So this is to answer any questions that you may have about this pilot. I'm just going to point out just a couple of things, the highlights of it. One is that the concept for the pilot is to engage with organizations such as physician groups, ACOs, CINs, these types of entities in our programming, in our existing programming. And conversations we have had with similar kinds of organizations, they have identified a lot of value in the programming that we have. For example, when we had Kathy's had and I have had conversations with Florida Hospital, and when they talk about other groups that they belong to in the area of population health, their comment has been those organizations seem to be at the very foundation at the, 1.0, whereas the kind of conversations that they have with the Health Plan Alliance are at 2.0 or even 3.0. So even though Florida Hospital could participate or is eligible to participate in our programming because of their relationship with Health First, they have asked if they could have their own membership. And I included in the packet following the description of the pilot descriptions of two other organizations that have approached us. These referrals are coming from folks who know the Alliance because of previous positions that they've been in or other relationships with the Alliance. In addition to Florida Hospital and those two examples that I put in there, there's a physician entity in South Carolina that Jennifer Brady is now in North Carolina, I'm sorry, that Jennifer Brady is involved in, and she's approached us expressing interest as well. So there is a lot of, I think, opportunity because these kinds of organizations would find value in the Alliance. And so we're talking about specific kinds of organizations that are not health plans but that are performing population health, taking on risk and performing many functions and activities of health plans, and that are provider linked directly to providers, are provider owned. So I think that's a distinguishing point as well that makes them that provides a nice fit between the Alliance and these organizations. A third point that I'll make is that these members participating in this pilot, and if the pilot goes forward, we'll go through the same vetting and application process as we currently use with health plan members. So, again, taking a look at any kind of competitive issues or anything like that, and because there are multiple stakeholders in these organizations, there is opportunity for competition. If not with the organization itself, perhaps with their network, or if a TPA is part of the organization. So it's extremely important that they go through the same vetting and application process.
So, Dennis, Dennis, quick question. So
the
second bullet under concept says establish a membership classification. So are you talking about a membership classification for the pilot participants? Or is the goal of this pilot to develop a membership classification?
We are talking about, yes, identifying a third group. So we'll have shareholders, partners who are health plans, and their affiliated health systems and medical groups, and then a third group of a provider membership pilot. So both identifying
gotcha.
That classification, and it's a process that we'll go through, you know, to identify what all the components of that are as part of this process.
All right. So the membership,
does that make sense?
It's really membership in the pilot.
Yes, with the objective of the pilot giving us opportunity to test it out.
Yeah,
and
okay,
to,
gotcha.
You determine from both their perspective and ours is there value in this.
And, Gary, the content for this would be the same as what we're developing for our health plans and their provider owners. It's just the ability to bring in organizations that aren't attached to a health plan but have interest in our content.
Yeah, no, I understand. And all I can say is, wow, I thought the original plan was ambitious. Now we've layered this on it. Wow.
Well, we are going to limit the participation in this, Gary. We have three organizations that have expressed direct interest right away. I think we're going to be very careful in the selection of these and not go overboard on this. So, I would say 3 to 5 maybe organizations during this pilot, but if it goes off big, and because we're not talking about adding programming.
Yeah.
And our infrastructure can support it. So, we have all of the basic foundations in place to be able to manage it.
Yeah. So would you add that point somewhere in this document regarding
sure.
how many folks you think are going to be in that cohort?
Okay.
Because I think that's a very important
point. It depends on what the response is. Like I said, we've got several that are interested.
Yeah, all right.
This is more. I think it's actually an important thing we are doing, and I can just tell you, just in the state of Massachusetts, we have the Massachusetts Association of Health Plans, which we belong to, and then the Massachusetts Hospital Association, MHA. They recently changed their name a couple months ago to Massachusetts Hospital and Health Association. And one of the primary reasons is they want to try and collect some of these groups and offer them types of memberships and work with them. So I think if we're just doing it at a state level, you could see where this could become at a national level for Health Plan Alliance and an important customer in the future.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. I just said wow because this is just a big deal.
Right.
It's going to take
a lot
of work.
If we don't do it, I do believe somebody else will do it for them.
Yeah. So where does this pilot, where is it mentioned or spoken to in the strategic plan? Is it in there somewhere?
It is, Gary. It's
okay.
Under the first goal.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I say wow because I'm impressed. This is just a big initiative, so.
Well, we think, again, our initial conversations is that there's a lot of opportunity for this and interest both from these kinds of organizations, but from our members as well in terms of being able to engage with these groups and the value that they might bring to the discussion. I think, Kelly, you might want to say something about how the membership committee responded to this yesterday.
Kelly's not on the call, I don't think.
Ah.
Well, good. No, I think it's exciting.
Okay.
I think it's incredibly exciting.
I think the other thing with this is we've been developing programming around the health system, health plan interface for the last 6 years, and part of that is the reason that some of these organizations where somebody's left and gone someplace else or seen it wants to be involved. So it sounds bigger, but a lot, as Dennis had said, there's the infrastructure there to be able to handle it and the programming already in place.
Yeah. All right, excellent. Any other questions on the pilot? And this is going to be an action item on the board agenda, Kathy, for the board to approve?
Yes. Yeah, we want
okay,
to get their sign-off. And the intent is not to be like a proactive recruitment as we do in the health plan space. But to more react to the organizations that have been coming to us, and we put a framework around this where we didn't have a category that we could bring them in.
Right.
So we've got three now. There may be a few others, but I think for that three-year period to really test it out and make sure we are comfortable with what we have and how it fits in with the current membership.
Well, then might I suggest, I know you've only got this down for discussion, but might I suggest that perhaps then the executive committee ought to have a motion to endorse this, just like the strategic plan and the goals? I think that would, if we're going to take it to the board for approval, I think it's important to say that the executive committee has endorsed it.
That would be helpful, Gary. It'll be covered under the with the membership committee, and I think it would be really helpful if the executive committee would like to voice their support as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. Would anyone care to make a motion endorsing this membership pilot program?
So moved.
Second.
All right, numerous seconds, so I would take it then that we're all going to vote aye, but all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, yeah. I just think it adds some value to say that it's been formally endorsed by the executive committee.
Yep, it does. Thank you, Gary.
Sure. All right, moving on to the budget then. Jaime.
So, Jaime, can you give
sure.
us an overview, quick overview
sure,
of the budget?
Sure, will, Dennis. So everyone, just to know, this is a preliminary budget. It hasn't been presented to the Finance Committee, but I have talked to the Chair, to Gordon, about it, and we'll be discussing it this afternoon to the Finance Committee. For 2018, we're projecting a net operating loss, and there's primarily two drivers of that. The first is the loss of some of our membership fees due to the loss of members who have either terminated or have left the organization. And you'll see that up in the revenue. The other driver is the salary and benefits. At a period in the alliance, with at least in the first 5 months of next year, we're going to have basically two CEOs, a new CEO, and I'll call Kathy the CEO Emeritus, who are going to be on at the same time, and you can see the salary. Plus, we're bringing on a new director and an administrative assistant. So those are the two primary drivers, if you will, of why you're seeing this net operating loss. A smaller one is that also next year we have the audit, which there are some fees, but the two primary drivers are the two that I previously articulated. I added some footnotes at the bottom of the budget for your reference and for your convenience, but those are the primary drivers of the loss that we're projecting.
Can you remind us who the new director is or what that's the director of?
Dennis is going to be talking about that, Marianne, in just a few minutes, but it's a position that had been previously approved by you all, by the board.
About programming.
Programming, yes. It's a knowledge and, programming, learning. Kathy, you had a question.
Yeah, on the membership, we have listed out the plans here that had left that we took out. Did we also take out Fidelis?
No, I need to, good catch, Kathy. I need to add Fidelis. Fidelis was subtracted from this amount, but I need to add them in the footnote.
Okay. And we're just assuming that since the announcement was made that Fidelis is being sold to Centene, that they won't be in the fees for next year.
Yeah, that's probably a given, right? Yeah.
That's our thought. We did not include any revenues from the pilot.
Right.
That is priced at $10,000, the same as a startup plan that joins the alliance. With that kind of philosophy about it, but we did not budget that. And, Jaime, did we include Peoples?
We included Peoples. I took out everyone down here, so that number 187 add 50,000 to that. That's really included to include. So that should be 237, right? That would include Fidelis Care. I did include Peoples in there, so it's included.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a new member that'll be voted on at the board meeting.
Is that going to take us to a projected loss for next year?
Yes.
It'll take us to a net loss, yeah.
A net loss of almost 95,000.
And
no.
Huh?
Yes, it would be a net loss, Marianne, of almost 94,523.
No. I think Marianne was asking about that's the operating loss, but
correct. I'm sorry. Gary.
I was talking.
Correct.
I was looking at the net. So what we're looking at shows a profit, net profit of $5,500. But when we factor Fidelis out, that would go to a a loss of somewhere around 45,000, correct?
No, Gary, right, excuse me. Excuse me, just one second. Fidelis is already added into this amount. What I was saying earlier when I didn't add Fidelis, I didn't put their name in the footnote down here.
Oh, okay.
They are in there already. I apologize for the confusion I might have caused by saying that. They are they are in this amount of this 2020.
All right, so Mary Ann.
Be clear, I mean, when you're saying in, you actually mean out.
They're out.
Yes, sir,
that's right.
We've taken them into account.
Count, exactly, and they are. I have removed that 50,000.
So what we have is the, is a net operating loss, but still an overall net profit.
Correct, yes, sir.
Oh, it's pretty much a break-even year.
Just about.
Yeah, so yeah. I would expect that the board, if they're paying attention, will ask for more information on that. Because when you look at it from 14 to 18, what we're showing here, that's a big variant. So what I've heard so far is we're isolating it down primarily to the fact that we'll have two CEOs for a few months and we're adding a director.
That's correct. And basically, the director we had factored in for part of this year, and it's annualized for next year. So I would say that the biggest two factors on this, that from a going forward standpoint, is losing five members in a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not typical. But we're seeing that, and when you look at the cycle of what's happening with membership, you're seeing some providers that are just saying, I'm not doing this anymore with exchanges. And so we lost a couple of members there. We lost Parkland over their annualized reimbursement. A couple are going out of business or sold. So that part, if we don't, you know, have that number, we can build back up the membership roles. And then you've got 4 months of my salary and then my PTO payout that is an overlap with somebody else that wouldn't continue going forward.
Yeah. If you look at it's revenue is small drop in revenue, but the expense in salaries and benefits is up, you know, close to $600,000 over the
year.
We've also, depending on the decision you make, we have also included $75,000 for relocation expenses. So,
right.
Again, depending on the decision, on the hiring decision, that may or may not come into play.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I would just say, this is Gordon, if you didn't have the one-time items that we're looking at here, you would probably be right at what the 2017 budget amount, the 175.
That's correct, Gordon.
So I don't, to Mary Ann's, and of course we always got to know when Mary Ann starts looking at numbers, we all get nervous.
hey, I ask the questions everybody else is thinking, Gordon. You know that.
Yeah. So, I think without
this is a
we're similar to last year, so I think it's defendable to the board.
Hey, Dennis, this is Jaime. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I would appreciate it as the incoming board chair that you would make a point to explain that at the board. Seriously, because I think that if that notwithstanding, it would be rightfully challenged that we're not making any other administrative cuts to accommodate this big swing in performance. And so if we can say we think all of this is a one-time thing, then it's not a run rate issue. It's just
right.
This investment we have to make, which is totally different. Mm-hmm. And if they're not paying attention and don't ask the question, I'd still like them to think about that so that they do pay attention.
Yeah, no, I think it ought to be directly addressed when we present the budget.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We've been profitable every year but the first year of operations, and because we usually have a pretty conservative budget. And we were intending to have a budget that was pretty close to break even, you know, and even with the swing on the relocation, that would have brought us up. But then Fidelis just announced. So, Mary Ann, you don't want to have the first year with a loss, I guess.
Well, thank you. But also, I'm sitting here thinking if it was a run rate issue, I would be hard-pressed to authorize hiring a new leader if we – had lost this membership if we weren't sure we were able to get it back. So that's all. I just, you know,
just for your information, what we did is we left in my current salary and bonus level as the level of compensation for the new CEO for next year, and that's how we calculated it. What we don't know is what that person's salary level is going to be. We know that I'm not getting a bonus. We know what my salary is for 4 months plus PTO, and we factored that in. So there's a possibility that the loss could go higher if you hire somebody that has a higher salary rate, or it could go, you know, lower or stay the same. So anyway, just for information purposes, that's how we built the salary budget.
Yeah.
But I think we need to take that into account, Gary, when we're talking in this next topic about this director. I mean, I'm, again, channeling the way we would do things here, and if we feel like, okay, we've lost a lot of revenue, there's some maybe opportunities for us to have to go higher than what's even in the budget, if the person, if this director is not currently on board right now, it's a lot easier to postpone that hiring than to have to lay somebody off if we don't make budget.
Yeah.
Hey, Gary, it's Dave McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah, so a couple comments, and I think some of you probably know, I'm with Vizient, and so I'm in the same business that Kathy and the team is in terms of a membership organization. Ours is just bigger. It doesn't mean necessarily better, because I can talk about how strong HPA is relative to what we do. But from a budget perspective, I think these are good pushes. Strategically, there may be a couple of thoughts. One is, what we're talking about perhaps is describing this as a bridge year. So we're bridging to a new leader, but at the same time, we're saying we want to continue to grow. And the budget reflects that in my mind. The other comment I would make, and I run two member-owned companies in Georgia, is you built, to your credit, an economic engine that, so when you have that, you know, non-membership fee income covering the shortfall, if you will, that's really to this organization's credit, that you've built an economic engine that allows you to do this bridging while at the same time growing. So from my perspective, congratulations. That's the situation I have in Georgia, where one company kind of breaks even, but the other one is a very strong operating engine with a 20% margin that covers up a lot of sins, if you will, or operating challenges. So I do think you have all of that good news that could be framed, you know, in sort of a strategic way for the board. And then lastly, you know, a bigger issue, which is I have as well, is we have a very big issue at Vizient around consolidation, you know, health system consolidation, and reflecting on our business model. How might our business model need to change to reflect the consolidation dynamic? So we know the question. I don't have an exquisite answer for you because we're struggling with it. But perhaps another outcome of our dialogue as an executive committee, and sort of in this preemptive fashion, is to say, look, we know, you know, we've got this bridging year, but there are some storm clouds out there, and the new CEO will have to take on perhaps, you know, one aspect relative to our financial model, our business model, is how do we, you know, continue to grow our revenue on the membership fee side in a consolidating market or whatever's happening here. So anyway, so for me, this is a net really powerful story about the organization you've built and the ability to absorb a bounce like this with this transition while at the same time continuing to grow. The last thing I would say is we in some of our regional activities, we also have a rule that the board has approved that says some version of if you have not declared that you're leaving by November 1 of the previous year, then you're obligated for the full fees for the following year, whether you leave mid-year or not. So, you know, I'm not suggesting you do something like that right now, but maybe that's something that Jaime, Kathy, and the new person would look at, and that obviously helps address budget variability, et cetera. So, anyway, a string of thoughts there.
That's a great suggestion, Dave, because I just got hit with that on some member organizations that I belong to, that if I don't give them notice in the fall of the previous year, I'm obligated for my dues in the following year. And I asked them why that was, and they said it's so they can ensure their operating budget for the following fiscal year is met. I said, that makes sense. So I got to remember, I got to give notice if I want to get out.
And we just changed all of our members to be annualized so that they get their invoices with a January 1 effective date. And sometimes the plan, but they don't get their invoices till after the distribution is determined at the April meeting. So the invoices are actually going out partly into that year. So actually that might be a good way to do it. It still doesn't, you know, preclude somebody from not paying, but at
yeah.
least it gets, lets them know when they need to give us notice.
Yeah. All right, good points, good discussion. All right, and this is not an action item because it's going to go to the Finance Committee today, correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct. And then they'll recommend it to the board.
All right.
But certainly.
All right, any other comments on the preliminary budget?
Yeah, Gary, this is Gordon. And I guess in my role as chairman of the Finance Committee, certainly if the executive committee was uncomfortable with this, I'm a little tentative to recommend it. So I just need to make sure that with the discussion that we've had here, I don't really want, I guess I'm asking that the executive committee will support this budget, because if you have concerns, I'd rather air them now and have the committee make changes as opposed to an executive committee members speak up against it.
Well, I think I'll speak for myself. Based on the discussion we just had, I'm comfortable with it.
Okay.
I mean, this is a bridge year. We understand that there are non-recurring expenses built into this budget. So I think we're going to talk about staffing here in two or three agenda items, but at this point, I'd say I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah, this is Maura McCaffrey, and I agree. I'm definitely comfortable with the budget, and especially because it's a bridging year. And I also agree with the comment. We have this struggle all the time where we need to cut certain things out of the budget to make way for new strategic initiatives and new positions that are needed. And that's kind of just the business we're in healthcare, that you do need to move forward. So I'm fine with this going forward, Gordon.
Okay, thank you.
Hey. But the only comment I would make is I would not be comfortable with a loss, projecting a loss. And I heard somebody say that they think that the assumptions we put in here for, and maybe we need to talk about this in executive committee, but if we think the assumptions are light in some of the areas that we've put in as one-time expenses, I'd like to revisit that, because I don't, to the point Maura just made, if it comes down to us needing to project a loss, I think we should be looking more closely at what we could cut to make room for some of the things that we need to invest in for the future so that we don't project a loss.
Well, this is Gary. I'm perfectly comfortable with a loss if it's not a huge, if it's not of a significant magnitude. I see no difference with a break even year or with a small or slight loss. I mean, it's an investment year. And I believe we have significant reserves, do we not?
We do. Our balance sheet shows our equity at about over $5.2 million. So.
Yeah, we have to take that into account as well.
If it would help you, I can break out what those non-reoccurring costs are in relationship to my salary, and then the other would be the relocation piece of it, and then also the audit hits next year, which is about $25,000. So you could see what those non-reoccurring are, and then you'd have to balance that out against the assumption that's made for the level of reimbursement or what you're going to hire in a new CEO at.
And probably for the committee here, Kathy, to the salary related to the new director position. The related
sure.
expenses to that. So I just add that to your math that you would share with us.
Sure.
Yeah, I would feel more comfortable about that. I mean, normally I would be a whole lot less uncooperative about this, but I inherit this budget.
Yeah, for me, what you're doing is you're offering a guiding principle concept, and I think that's good, so that, you know, the staff has some guiding principles that, you know, we can develop more as we go, but I think you tried to create a guiding principle there for them, and I think that's good thought.
The other thing that we'll do, Mary, I'll get that information to you, because it'll have my personal salary and stuff in it, but I'll get that to you so that you have that to take a look at before you have your meeting next week and before we go into budget. And then you can take that into consideration, and then we can make a decision on is there some sort of lever, something we need to hold off on. Like, we've done this before where we have to bring in X number of members or member revenue to offset their or trigger a hiring decision or something else going on with that. So I'll get that information to you later this week.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure, no problem.
All right, Gordon, did we give you what you need?
I think so. As long as I can muzzle Mary Ann, I should be fine. So
okay. All right.
All right, thanks.
All right. So moving on to the governance policy, capital contribution, and product disbursements. Dennis.
So these next two items are for information only. They will not be taken to the board for a vote. We're just wanting to do some education with them. The first is the transfer of Gunderson Health Plan's Alliance ownership share to Quartz. This transaction is envisioned and covered by our LLC agreement. So our legal team is just wanting us to make sure that we have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and the appropriate documentation in place. So to make sure that all of that is done, we're being very deliberate and careful about it and working closely with Quartz to be able to make sure that we have all the appropriate background information. So it won't be ready for the board meeting, but you'll hear in a second, we'll be able to do it afterwards, and it's actually more appropriate that we do it by email and electronic voting. So any questions then about the transfer of Gunderson's? We do have precedent. Early on in the alliance, there were different, shifts in membership and organizations, and even since I've joined the alliance then, as Catholic Health System sold St. Mary's, and they became prominents. So we do have precedent for this. We're just wanting to make sure that we do it deliberately and have the correct documentation.
And, hey, Dennis, has the membership committee talked about this at all?
Yes, we reviewed it with the membership committee yesterday.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Again, as an educational point.
Yes.
The second step, then, is the anticipated, actually realized now, a merger of Physicians Plus into Quartz. This is somewhat unprecedented for us and is not covered in the LLC agreement. The LLC agreement allows for redemption of a share if you close, merge, or sold a redemption of your share at the value of $1. The instances that have occurred in the past is a merger or a sale to an organization that is not eligible to be in the alliance. And in fact, that's why the procedure was changed from the original LLC agreement to the redemption of $1, because we were giving money back to United and other organizations that weren't eligible to be part of the alliance. In this case, the merger is occurring with an entity, like Quartz, who is a member of the alliance. And so just kind of philosophically, we felt that it would be fair and appropriate for us to redeem the original capital contribution that Physicians Plus put into the organization. They were one of the original eight, so their capital contribution was $50,000. Because this is outside of the LLC agreement, Delaware requires that it be a unanimous vote by the board supporting this action. And so that's why, we don't have 100% participation in a board meeting ever, so we'll have to do this vote outside of the board meeting electronically. Again, our legal team is working on the language for that resolution, and we can bring it to this group before we put it out to the board for a vote. But it essentially will be authorizing us to redeem position pluses, shareholder ownership for the original for their original capital contribution. Moving forward on distributions, our policy would be that that PPIC's distribution that they are earning now in 2017 that will be given to them in 2018 will actually go to Quartz, as will Gunderson Lutheran, Gunderson Health Plan's distribution. And then moving forward in 2019, it'll just be the single organization's distribution, Quartz, because now all of them will be merged. Any questions about that? I hope it's pretty straightforward. The tax people, of course, want us to have this all wrapped up by the end of the year, so our legal team is working under that deadline.
Hey, and Dennis, did the membership committee discuss that?
They did.
They did.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, we did. We reviewed both of these with the membership committee.
Okay, all right.
And their feedback on the return of the share price to PPIC, they thought that was fair.
It sounds reasonable. So you're looking for the executive committee approval to send this to the board?
No. We're not going to be taking anything to the board. This is just for information and education to kind of key it up when we do the electronic vote following the board meeting.
All right. I was looking at something else on the agenda. Okay. All right. Any questions? All right.
Okay, the next item is the staffing update. Given the conversation about the budget, I think we're in the right place with our staffing then. We've been very deliberate, particularly in the selection of a director whose focus is going to be on programming. This position is critically important, and we've been working on it over the last couple of months and just have not found the right candidate yet. So, you know, we are at a position where we're still exploring and pulling in resumes and taking a look at potential candidates. So, while we have launched the process, we certainly, no offers out there, or anything like that. We are at a stage where we're pulling in resumes. Having taken a look at a number of them, because of the expectations we have and the importance of this role, we've just been very careful about it and haven't come up with the right candidate yet. So we're, you know, in a position where we have some flexibility at this point, although we are moving ahead with the collection of resumes, et cetera, but certainly not moving as fast. And then we are just now launching the search. We just took a look yesterday at the first batch of resumes for an administrative assistant. Obviously, the budget implications for that position are much less than for the director level. Both of them are built in for an annualized basis for 2018 and even a prorated basis for the director level, I believe, in the 2017 forecast budget.
That's correct.
Okay.
So, you know, knowing that, I think we will be very deliberate in our process moving on these two positions, recognizing the concern that you all just voiced over the 2018 budget. And
just for clarification, Dennis, I'm not necessarily picking on those two positions as much as I was just using them as an example. I mean, that may not be, if we would be ever be in a position where we would need to cut back, those might not be the places. But I'm just saying I think we need to think that through more carefully.
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. The big levers that we have, Mary Ann, are salaries and travel and meetings. And, you know, cutting back in both of those areas cuts back in programming. And I think that's something we'd have to really carefully consider. You know, we've thought through the budgets for the number of meetings that we're doing next year and the budgets for those. And so those are our big leverage points, and I would hesitate to, you know, cut back on our core programming. because the other areas are pretty fixed, our management agreement with Vizient, our rent, our product distribution, the you do see a large amount there in office expense, but that is that one-time relocation expense. That's where that's accounted for.
Quite easily, it's easier for us to grow the business than it is probably to cut back in some of the expenses and what we're making. So, you know, if you look at outside of those non-reoccurring expenses, the recruitment of new members, potentially the new membership class, if we're able to bring in some of those providers, will offset some of that. The GPO contracts, getting members to use more of the contracts we currently have, all of that could be easier to bring up revenue and offset the expenses than it would be to cut back what we're doing.
We could always pay Vizient a little bit less. We'll just have to keep that as on top of the possibilities.
Are you breaking
you
up
endorse that, right, David? Okay.
Oh, you're breaking up, Gary. I can't hear you.
All right. All right. Any other discussion on the staffing? If not, let's review the board agenda. Dennis.
Sure. The only thing that I would point there, we've got the committee reports. We kind of already covered those. You guys have voted on what you're bringing forward from the executive committee. Mary Ann and Gary, I didn't just very quickly, Gary, with your role as chairman of the board, I didn't know if you wanted to take the lead on the executive committee report with my support, or if Mary Ann wanted to have that role. That's up to the two of you. I believe Kelly will be joining us by phone at the board meeting, and everybody else is scheduled to be there, I believe.
Okay.
I'm fine with you doing it, Gary, if you want.
Well, let's see here. Right now it's it's down as Dennis. Now, well, how do we normally do it, Dennis?
Well, we really haven't had the management team has handled these items before, Gary. So this time we're running them through you as we just did for your endorsement. So it's really up to you, Gary, how you want to handle it.
Well, put both of our names down, as is common with most of the committee reports.
Uh-huh.
And then you and I can talk about how we'll handle that.
Will do.
Okay.
Sounds great. I think that's it then, really, for the board agenda.
Dennis, this is Kristen, and I just wanted to remind you about our conversation about Trusted Health Plan and
right.
The executive committee. I think giving these folks a heads up about that conversation will probably be helpful.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen.
Okay, so. So with Kelly not here on the call today, then yesterday at the membership committee, we brought forward two applications for membership. One of those was very normal, what we consider kind of a normal application process, and that's People's Health Plan in Louisiana. That one, there's nothing out of the ordinary at all, and we fully expect it to be approved by the board next week. However, we do have a second application that the staff discussed it internally, and we decided to go ahead and show it to the membership committee. That application moved very quickly and was actually just completed on Monday. So we sent out a letter to all of the CEOs and board members yesterday morning to give opportunity for feedback. And so showed it to the membership committee pending that feedback. This is a application that we expect some more involved discussion. Trusted Health Plan is a Medicaid-only health plan that's privately owned, not a provider-sponsored plan. They operate in Washington, D.C., and Johns Hopkins is completely fine with their application. And they also own a Medicaid health plan in Detroit, Harbor Health, that has about 10,000 members. And Mary Ann had already let us know that HAP was fine with their application. However, they do have expansion plans
they did submit an RFP to two counties in Virginia. There are two counties that are adjacent to the D.C. metro area and also are looking at North Carolina as a potential. Many of you may be aware North Carolina is going to be opening up an RFP process in 2018 for their Medicaid program. And those two markets, Virginia and North Carolina, are both a concern for Michael Dudley. So he did give us feedback very quickly. And I spoke with him briefly yesterday, and for him it's a competitive concern, and so he doesn't support the application. We let the membership committee know that that was the case. I've also reached out to Presbyterian, and then I'm also going to send a follow-up to the plans that already operate in North Carolina. They're not in the Medicaid market right now, but again, these are just two very hot markets, so we do anticipate competitive issues coming up. The reason why I'm highlighting this for this group is that the membership committee didn't feel comfortable making a recommendation either way. And so we could, you know, delay and not really revisit it officially until April or do it, you know, electronically. But rather than doing that, given that the full board will be together next week and that many of those plans that we think may have concerns will also be at that board meeting, we think it's a great opportunity for this conversation to occur. And so, Gary, I think for you the takeaway is that, as we understand it, there's a couple different ways that it can go. It can simply be a conversation with no action. It could be that, you know, we have the opportunity to collect more information from the voices around the table and then ultimately, you know, kick it back to committee and then we'll allow it to kind of go through the process at a later date. Or we may feel that, you know, we have enough information and the board wants to go ahead and take a vote at that point. And of course, you know, can vote to either accept or deny the application. Kathy, did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it. It's a private equity funded plan that's based in D.C. So if they were just their current membership with no expansion, there probably wouldn't be an issue. It's the expansion component that is.
Kristen, this is Marianne. Just a point of clarification. When we talked about that, I had told you that I couldn't think of anything immediately that would block this, but I wanted to talk with Terry, our CEO, about that, and she just got back to me this morning with some hesitation. I won't say, she didn't say no. I need to talk with her more before I come in next week, but, you know, she's asking some questions, so I think it's probably a good thing that we do talk about this at the board. I guess one thing I'm questioning is, because they're not connected as Trusted Health to a hospital system, is this somebody that should be qualifying as the new pilot organization?
No, because they're a health plan. They're not a delivery system. So it would go through the sort of a health plan type of membership role.
But how are we counting them as being private or provider sponsored?
They're not, and they would fit into our independent category. So we've had several members that over the years that have been independent. We added that category in 2004 to allow for growth because we were losing more of the provider-owned plans. So we've had ones like Rocky Mountain that was a member that came in under that, and they were community-owned. HealthSpring was one that evolved from being provider-owned to being privately held, private equity-backed. And then when they went public, then they didn't fit the requirements anymore, and they were dropped. We've had ones that are county-owned. We have the co-ops. So these independent plans are ones that we feel like work closely with providers, and they're regional in nature and are similar to ours, but they're not provider-owned.
AFMED as well falls into that category.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, no action's needed.
I think it's good to take it to the board. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marian, so I think really I just wanted to take the opportunity since we had you on the phone just to give you kind of this heads up. And Marian, thanks for that clarification regarding the application and HAP's stance on it. So Gary, I think, you know, what we'll need to do when we're all together next week is quite frankly kind of read the room and make a decision at that point if we feel like we have what we need and we can go ahead and make a vote on it, and that way we're able to just finish out the process, or if we need to delay that so that additional information or follow-up can be done. Does that help?
Yeah, and I got the email yesterday, and I hadn't opened it yet to read it about that at their application.
Okay,
so
great. This
have we gotten any feedback yet from anyone?
Michael Dudley did let us know that he would not be supporting it, and he'll be there next week, so he'll have the opportunity to talk through, you know, his concerns.
Anybody else?
Well, pending Mary Ann's conversation with Terry, sounds like maybe there'll be some additional follow-up from HAP.
Yeah.
And I have not heard back from Presbyterian or the other members we have that operate in North Carolina. That's a very busy market. We have a number of members that are looking at that market, so it's already
I would specifically reach out to those. I would say that don't take no response to the email.
Oh no, not at all. No. I've already sent them personal emails, Gary. I'll follow up again in a day. But yes, absolutely agreed. Absolutely agreed.
All right. Perfect.
And Brandon from Presbyterian will be at the meeting. He's not the primary person on that one, but he would know the sensitivities around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think is just the last point on this topic, and we can move on, is this is probably the first application since we've put in this new process, right, where the staff didn't just immediately kill it ourselves. You know, we didn't just stop it in the beginning. That we're going through this new membership process that we had put into place with Mary Ann and Dennis, where, you know, it is being contested, right? So that's one kind of noteworthy point. And then the second piece is, again, just the timing of it, right? Because we got this application in right before the membership committee was to meet and right before the board was to meet, the staff felt like just, you know, go ahead and putting it in front of these groups was a good opportunity for these conversations to have. And then finally, Kathy, I don't know if you have additional color on this, but I know there seems to be two points kind of of hesitation. So one is the competitive issue, which is completely straightforward, and there's no concerns from the staff, you know, on that. Obviously, we're going to do what's right for the members in deciding who, you know, who we want to bring into our membership. But the second piece is around the question of the provider sponsorship. The categories that Kathy just outlined, the independent, not provider-sponsored plans, that's been in place for a number of years. And so we want to be mindful, you know, that that's not a question, if that makes sense, that that's not one of the elements.
That's not a reason for not approving them.
Correct. Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the board? We were reviewing the board agenda, so I think we're good to go then, correct?
I think we are, Gary.
All right, does anyone, before we go into our brief executive session, does anyone else have any other questions or comments?
No, Gary, is the executive session going to be very long? I have a hard stop at 1, and it's 1.
No, I think it's going to be, it should be short.
Okay.
Gary, I'm going to stop the recording, and we're leaving the room on our side, but the line will remain open for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.